Today's daf is Chulin daf Ayin Gimel. I'm not sure exactly where we left off, somewhere on the bottom of Ayin Beis and Beis, but let's pick it up again from the beginning of the Gemara. The Mishnah had said that if a behema is giving birth and the ubar sticks a paw out of the mother and you cut it off before you shecht the mother, so the basar of the ubar is going to be tahar. And the reason the basar of the ubar is going to be tahar is no matter what you say about the paw, nothing can become tameh when it's no animal can become tameh when it's alive. When we refer to animals as tameos, it's always that when we refer to tumas nevela, or any sort of tumah that an animal has, it's always when an animal is dead. If we refer to a live animal as a behemoth tameah, we mean a non-kosher animal. And a live animal never just becomes tameh. So that was the halach in the Mishnah. But the Mishnah said that if you shecht the mother and then cut it off, then the basar is machlokas between Rameir and the Chacham. Rameir says it's maga nevela, the actual ubar, it's as if it's touching a nevela, it's tameh, just like something that touched a nevela. And the Chacham say that no, that it's maga trefa shchuta. It's only as tameh as touching a trefa that's been shechted. So let's see again from the beginning of the Gemara, because we're going to have, yesterday we only read one day, we're going to have 2 days, and we're going to compare them. So, Amai, says the Gemara, Ayin Beis in the middle of the page, Amai, Tumas Beis Astarim hi, V'tumas Beis Astarim la Matamya. Why should the rest of the fetus become Tamei as Maga Nevela? It's only touching in a Beis Astarim. It's only connected in the Beis Astarim, where in an unexposed part of the body. And the halach is that Tumas Beis Astarim is not Matamei. So, Lema Rabbi Meir L'Tamei, should we suggest that this is Rabbi Meir L'Shitaso, who holds, apparently, that Tumas Beis Astarim is Matamei? Where do we see that Rabbi Meir holds such a Deya? Ditnan, because we have a Mishnah in Maseches Kelim where the Mishnah tells us Shlosha al Shlosha, if you have a Beged that is 3 tfachim by 3 tfachim. Now there is a Tumah called Tumas Midras. If you have a Zav, Zava, Nida, Yaledas that puts their weight on something, sits on something, lies on something, and that item is meant to be sat on or lied on, like a mattress, like a saddle, it has to be something that's meant for sitting or lying on, it becomes tamei tumas medras. Even if they don't actually touch it, just by directly, with direct physical contact, but by lying on it, it's metamei tumas medras. So the minimum size for a cloth to be tamei tumas medras is 3 by 3 tefachim. If it's less than 3 by 3 tefachim, it cannot be mekabel tumas medras. So if you have a beged that's 3 by 3 tefachim, shenechlak, that then gets split, tahar min ha-medris. It becomes tahar from tumas medris, meaning even though it was tamei tumas medris, the zav, let's say, lied on it when it was 3 by 3, but now that you split it, it's no longer tumas medris. Aval tamei maga medris divra meir. But Rameir says it's still going to be tamei like something that touched a medris. Why is it tamei like something that touched a medris? Because when it was 3 by 3 tefachim, it was a medris. So as you were ripping it apart, it was each piece was as if it was touching the other piece. So that's where Rameir rolled the tamei maga medris. Vitanya in the Brisa says, Amar Rabbi Yossi v'chi be'ez of medris nagazeh. So Rabbi Yossi says, what are you talking about? This didn't touch any medris. Once you split it up, the fact that it's touching the other half should be meaningless, because it's maga beis astarim. It's only touching it in an area where that's not exposed. It's only once you rip it that you're exposing the area where it used to be touching. But while it was actually touching, it was beis astarim. So elashi im nagabo zav sheitame maga zav. No, what it really means is that, meaning says Rabbi Yossi, I disagree with Rav Meir. What I think is that it's not tameh as a maga medris. If the zav, in addition to being lying on it or leaning on it or sitting on it, in addition to doing that, he also touched it, so then it has a different tumah. It has tumah of maga hazav. That it still retains. So what is Rashi? How do you have such a case? What are we talking about that it has? So Rashi says, Elim Shim Nagaba Azav, Rashi gives 2 pshatim. Number one, Biraglo Arum Kisha Daras Alav, that at the very same moment that he was being metame, that cloth with Tumas Medris, the Zav was also touching it. Meaning Medris could be that you're fully clothed and leaning or lying on the item, so you're not not actually touching it directly. There's something in between you and the item. Or medras could be where you're also touching it at that time. So Rashi says maybe that's the pshat. He's walking on it barefoot. So he's not only being dores, he's also touching it. But then Rashi gives a different pshat. Oh, la'achar shadaras alav. Or maybe we're talking about a case where he touches it after he was dores on it. That the zav was dores, he lied on it, he sat on it, whatever, without touching. And then afterwards he went back and he touched it. And therefore the item, that piece of cloth, is tame in two distinct ways. Tumas medrash, she avatuma. It's tame tumas medrash, which itself is an avatuma, even though it's counterintuitive to think that a medrash hazav should be an avatuma, because normally when something becomes tame from something else, it goes down a level in tuma, and the zav himself is the avatuma. So one would have imagined that the medrash becomes a rishon tuma, but a medrash hazav is not considered something that becomes tame from a zav. It's viewed as a tuma yotzei lav megufo, as the beginning of the chain of tuma, that an item that has had a zav lie on it, it's not that it contracted tuma from the zav, it's its own category of tuma, a medras hazav, and it is an av hatuma, as opposed to a maga hazav. Something that a zav touches is only a rishon tuma, because the zav is the av, and it was that the tuma is only contracted from the zav. V'tumas maga shi rishona ve'ena el tamei ochle numashkin. The halacha is that a rishon tuma can only, on a daraisa level, can only be metame ochle numashkin, can only be metame food and drink. A person cannot become tame from a rishon tuma mida oraisa. Midrabanan, people become tame from rishon tuma all the time. Midrabanan, yadayim become shnios. When your hands touch a rishon tuma, your hands become tame. But that's obviously only midrabanan, because midaraisa, there's no such thing as hands becoming tame. Either the person is tame or he's not tame. There's no such thing as his hands are tame, not the rest of his. That's all midrabanan, though. On a daraisa level, a rishon can only be mitame ochlenu mashkin. So v'nechlak. So now you have this beggar that was 3x3. It was tame both with tumas medras hazav as well as with tumas maga hazav. And now you cut the beggar in half. So tarmi tumas medras ve'inu avatuma od. It's no longer tumas medras because it no longer meets the size criteria. So it's not an avatuma. Aval tame maga hazav, but the beggar itself is still considered a maga hazav. Calls Manchelo Tovel, so long as you are in Tovel, you didn't put it through any sort of Tara process, v'nivchas migim letzbaos, or any time that it hasn't gotten smaller than 3 etzbaos, because the minimum size for Medrash may be 3 tfachim, but the minimum size for Maga Hazav is 3 etzbaos. So Rashi gives 2 different hechitimtzes of how it could have this double tuma, where Rabbi Yossi says, as soon as you cut it, it loses the Medrash status, because it's no longer 3x3 tfachim, but it retains the Maga status. So again, the 2 psha Tamar, either that it contracted both tumos at the same time, he walked on it with bare feet, or that it wasn't at the same time, he came back later and was doris on it afterwards. So the Rishonim ask, the Rashba, the Ramban, ask on Rashi on this idea that it contracts the tumah at the same time, that he walks on it that it comes afterwards, that he first does doris on it, and then he comes back afterwards and touches it, that's a second tumah. So they ask, there is a Gemara in Maseches Menachos and Daf Chav Dalid, where Rava has a suffix, whether we say a concept called savale tuma, whether something becomes satiated with tuma, meaning when something already has a very severe level of tuma, and then you are metami it with a less severe level of tuma. Have you done anything? Do you view that as if you're being metami with the less severe level of tumah? Or do we say, no, it's already satiated with a much more severe tumah, so the less severe tumah just sort of bounces right off of it? So if something is already a medras hazav, that's an ava tumah, so the fact that a zav then goes and touches it, does that actually do anything? Maybe Rav has a suffix, maybe savalei tumah, maybe the maga just bounces right off of it, and therefore when you split the baguette and you take away the tumas medras from it, there is no tumas maga remaining. There should be no tumas maga remaining, unless it came at the same time, like the first day on Rashi, where he walks on it, he's dores on it when he's at the same time that he's touching it. So then you can't say savalei tumah because it's happening at the same time. Or if it happened first, if the maga, the lesser tumah happened first, right? Certainly, if the zav touched it first, and then he was doris on it. You're not going to say that the maga azav tuma goes away when he's doris on it. But for Rashi to say that first he was doris and then he goes and he touches it, that's very difficult. That's the kasha that the Rishonim ask. So the Rashba says that it must be that he touched it first. That must be the case that Rashi is referring to. He's just not being so clear. But that must be what he meant. The Ramban says, no, it's not a kasha on Rashi. Why do you think Rashi gives two pshatim over here? Because Rava has a suffix about savalei tuma, whether there is such a concept that when something already has a very severe level of tuma, whether a lower level of tuma can still be chal on it. That's why, since there's such a suffix in Shas, Rashi gave two pshatim. What were the two pshatim for? First pshat is, in case you hold savalei tuma, okay, so say that the case is he's being dores on it at the same time that he's touching it. And if you don't hold savalei tuma, then the case could even be that the second pshat in Rashi, that he's doris on it first, and then he's nogeya, then he touches it afterwards. That's how Rashi understands. Good. Says the Gemara, just another point. The Gemara had said that according to Rameir, if it was 3x3 tefachim and then you split it, it's tar min medris, but it's tamei maga medris. It's no longer considered medris azav, but it's still considered as if it touched the medris. So Rashi said, what do you mean maga medris? Because they were touching when it was still attached. The two halves, while they were attached to each other, were considered touching, and therefore it's tamei as if like something that had touched a medrash, because each piece had touched the other piece, so it's as if it touched a medrash. So in the Shechitas Chulin, he asks Pasha Nakasha, why does Rashi have to say that it's Tamei Maga Medrash because it touched each other? You could say better, that it's Tamei Maga Medrash because it touched itself. The Rashi Masech Pesachim has such a concept by Mechata Shabitul B'me'eha, that touching itself could be a maga. The fact that, meaning each fiber, the whole cloth was a medrash before you cut it. So now when you cut it, you're going to say, okay, it's not a medrash anymore, but it touched a medrash. How did it touch a medrash? By touching the other half. What do you mean? It itself was a medrash. Each half itself was a medrash. Say that it's a medrash because it touched itself. So the Brisker Rav explains that since Tumas Maga Medrash has a shear of Shalosh Al Shalosh, that there is such a din that for Tumas Maga Medras, for something to become Tame by touching a Medras, it has to have a shear of Shalosh Al Shalosh Etzba'os. So the idea of Nogea Ba'atzmo isn't Shaykh, because the whole idea of Nogea Ba'atzmo is that each Mashahu is touching itself. Whenever you have a shear of a minimum size, you can't say Nogea Ba'atzmo. Because the whole concept of Nogea Ba'atzmo is that you can look at it on a very micro scale and look at each and every Mashahu, each and every fiber, as if it's touching itself. But that's not going to help us with Maga Medras. With Maga Medras, that's to touch something that's Shalosh Al Shalosh Etzba'os. Okay, so the other half is Shalosh Al Shalosh Etzba'os. So that's why Rameir is worried about the Maga Medras of one half having touch the other half. But the bottom line is, why are we quoting all this? Because you see, where's the maga that Rameir is worried about? It's the one half of the beggar that used to be touching the other half, but where was it touching? It was touching where it was connected. That's a beis hastarim. Once it was disconnected, it wasn't touching anymore. So once it was no longer a beis hastarim, it wasn't touching anymore. So it says Gemara, lavit marala, amar ula lo shanu ela shlosha al shlosha. So again, the point is that Rameir, our Mishnah seems to be going dafka like Rameir. The idea that this is Rameir Lashitaso, that Rameir in our Mishnah says that the fetus is considered to be maga nevela, to be touching the arm of the animal of the fetus that's sticking out, which has a din of nevela, so it's tame like maga nevela. But it's only touching where it's connected, and where it's connected, it's a beis hastarim. So you see, this is Rameir Lashitaso, because Rameir holds even though it's only touching where it's connected, that's still considered to be touching, even though the place where it's connected is a beis hastarim. So says Gemara, no, you don't have to say that this is Rameir Lashitaso, because lavit marala amarula lo shanu al shalosh al shalosh shenechlak avol shalosh al shalosh habaos mi beged gadol. Let's say that we were discussing up until now 3x3 tefachim beged that was split into two, but what if you have a beged that's 3x3 etzba'os, that's ba'os mi beged gadol, that comes from a larger beged, meaning you have a very large cloth that's plenty more than 3x3 tefachim. So you cut off a little piece, so the main beged that you cut from is still more than 3x3 tefachim, and therefore still tamei tumas medras. the little piece that you cut off, what's its status? So shalosh al shalosh, that you cut off from a beged gadol, bishas prishasan me'avien, mekabels tumah me'avien. As you're cutting it off, it's mekabel tumah from the larger beged, because as you're cutting it off, there are some fibers that are still sticking out. You can't cut something so cleanly where the second it's sliced, it's no longer touching at all in the area that was cut. There are little fibers that's still connected, even in the place that's now exposed. So it's not just a beis hastarim. At the time that you're cutting it, there are certain parts that are still touching. So hanami over here also, bishas prishas, and at the time that it's porish, at the time that you're cutting the limb off of the animal, at the time that you're cutting the limb off of the animal, so it's still prishas me'ever, mekabel tumah me'ever. It's going to be able to be mekabel tumah at that point in time, because that's where it's still touching, and it's not only in a beis hastarim, it's touching in a place where it's already cut. Ravina, so that is how Ula understands. So Ula says our Mishnah is lav dafka remeir l'shitaso, because it's not about a maga beis hastarim. It's a regular maga. Ravina Amar, beged lav l'chaticha ka'i. Uber l'chaticha ka'i. Ravina says a different distinction. You can't compare this to the case of the beged. The case of the beged that you cut is lav l'chaticha ka'i. It's not meant to be cut. And that's why Rabbi Yossi has a problem with Rabbi Meir saying that it's maga, because it's never meant to be cut. We can't view it as if it's already cut. But an uber is the chaticha kai. The uber is meant to be cut in that situation when it's makasha leleid, when the mother is having a difficult time in the labor and the uber is sticking out its feet first. So that's meant to be cut. So b'kala omi lachtoch. Anything that ultimately is supposed to be cut off, it's as if it is already cut off. That's rule. That klal comes up. There's a lot of klalim of kala omed in Shas. Question: do you say that by chatzitzas issues? If you have long hair that needs to be cut, so is that a chatzitza for tefillin? Do you say that the fact that it's omed to be cut, that it's considered that it's already that we want to call lachtoch, that we would call ligzos? Do you say kala omed ligzos kigazos dami, or by fingernails for tefillah, is it a chatzitza? By tefila, our minig is that women, when they go to the mikveh, they cut their fingernails. So is that may be based on the idea that when they're long, they're considered to be omid lachtoch, and therefore they're kachatuch tami, and therefore they form a problem of chatzitza. There is a shari tshuva in Archaim in Hilchos Lecha Mishnah, where he says that the halach is that the Lecha Mishnah both need to be shleimos, right? We know that they both need to be complete loaves of bread. Let's say one of your Lecha Mishnah has a very burnt end to it. So there's no way that you're going to keep it on the bread. You're just going to cut that piece off and throw it off. Do you say that that's considered a shalim, that loaf of bread is considered a complete loaf of bread? Maybe you should say, since it's going to be cut off, we view it as if it's already cut off, and if it's already cut off, then the bread isn't shalim. Or maybe you could argue differently, that no, by Lecha Mishnah, is not going to apply, because by the idea of a shalim is in the tzura, it's not in the halachic shleimus of it. It has to have the tzura of being a shalem, not the halachic the halachic status of being a shalem. Or you could argue that no, that who says everyone cuts off the burnt pieces? Some people like different parts of different types of breads, and maybe some people like it burnt. So it's not so pashut that it's omed lachtuch. Just like some people like end pieces, some people don't like the end pieces. So okay, so anyway, that's you find this concept comes up in a variety of places in Shas. But anyway, says the Gemara, Kiman, who's the one that holds such a concept, it's Rabbi Meir, Titnan, Kol Yados HaKelim Shein Aruchos, if you have handles of Kelim that are exceedingly long, longer than they need to be, Va'asad the Katsan, and therefore you're going to cut them down to size, Matbil Ad Makom Mida, Divrei Meir V'Chamim Mamrim Ad Sheyatbil Eskulo. So the question, whether it's Rabbi Yehuda Omer, V'Chamim Mamrim, whatever it is, whoever it is that argues in Rameir says when you tovel that kli, you only have to tovel the kli, and you only have to tovel the handle up until the point where you plan on cutting it. You do not need to stick the rest of the handle in. Aye, but the rest of the handle is still attached to the kli, so shouldn't the halacha is that the entire kli needs bias mayim all at one time? You can't, you gotta tovel the whole kli all at one time. So how does that work? No, but apparently the fact fact that you plan on cutting off that part of the handle later on, it's considered as if it's not even there right now. And if it's not even there right now, it's not going to be it's not going to require tevila together with the kli. So Tosfos raises the obvious kashya. He says, well, if it's considered as if it's not right, as if it's no longer part of the kli, well, if you have a foreign substance attached to your kli, that's no good. You can't do tevilas kelim with a foreign substance attached to your kli. Number one, tevilas kelim shaila I always get is someone will call and say, I did tevilas kelim, and then I came home and I realized there was a sticker still on the bottom of the kli. So is that a chatzitza? So potentially it could be. It depends if it's makbid, not makbid. Okay, there are a variety of issues, but it potentially could be a chatzitza problem when you have a foreign substance attached to the kli. So Frek Tosfos, if you're going to say that the handle's kechatuch dami, so you know then you have to follow that through to its logical conclusion. The handle should also be a chatzitza, and the tevila should be invalid. So Tosfos says maybe the handle is made in such a way where it's made as in pieces, like links on a chain, where the parts that are extra that are going to be cut off are extra links on the chain which aren't actually a chatzitza because it's loosely connected to the rest of it. So the water is actually going to get around to the entire handle that you're keeping. It's not going to be a chatzitza at all because it's simply not going to block the water. Maybe that's the hechitimtza, that it's like links on a chain and therefore it's not going to be a chatzitza problem. The Rash in his Perush on the Mishnayos says different. He says that no, maybe the halacha, he says the halacha is, not maybe, the halacha is that in a beis hastarim, we're not worried about a chatzitza. In a beis hastarim of a kli, in a part of a kli that's not exposed, we're not worried about a chatzitza. He says the reason we're not worried about a chatzitza in a beis hastarim is because people aren't makpid on beis hastarim. They're not makpid when there's a chatzitza in the beis hastarim, and the halacha is by emira makpid that it's never a chatzitza. But that is the halacha. Beis hastarim, even in a kli, a chatzitza is not a... Only in a kli, chatzitza is not a problem in the beis hastarim. By a human being, like we said yesterday, chatzitza is a problem in the beis hastarim because that's why women brush their teeth before they go to the mikveh, even though the mouth is a beis hastarim. But by a kli, chatzitza is not a problem in the beis hastarim. My brother Taina, that this is a major reason to be matir, not to have to tovel Keurig coffee machines. He thought that this was the kula, not to have to tovel them, because the only metal part of it, at least the one that I have, but the only metal part, there has to be a metal part in there somewhere, because the water gets heated, it's got to be heated by a heating element, which must be metal, must not be plastic. So the only metal part is in the base of storm of the kli. It's in a part of the kli where you never that's never exposed. The only parts of the kli that are exposed are plastic. So, or metal parts that never come in contact with the food. The only metal part that actually comes in contact with the food is in the beis hastarim. So, if the halacha is that a beis hastarim is allowed to have a chatzitza, so it stands to reason that beis hastarim should not that a beis hastarim should not require bias mayim, that you shouldn't need the water to hit beis hastarim. If you don't need bias mayim beis hastarim, then if the whole part of the kli that only needs tefila is in the beis hastarim, it can't be that it's going to require tefila. So that was his cheshbon. He asked from Natu Greenblatt, he was masking that's a cheshbon. If you recall, we pointed out, I don't know, a couple of months ago maybe, that Rav Asher Weiss has a different cheshbon. He tines that the B'chiyai Gavna, Lo Gazru, that if you're going to break a kli by putting it in a mikveh, like a Keurig coffee machine, where if you put it in a mikveh, it'll obviously break. It's like sticking a computer into a mikveh. It's obviously going to break. So then the B'chiyai Gavna, the Rabbanu, never goes there, tefilas kelim. That's what Rav Asher Weiss said, and that's what Rav Shechter thought also, that it wouldn't require tefila in that situation. But anyway, that's based on this idea of beis hastarim. The Chiddush HaRan has a different yishuv over here to Tosfos Kasha. What about chatzitza? Says the Chiddush HaRan, the whole idea that miyut hamakbid is chotzeitz is only if it's b'shas tvila you're makbid on it. But over here, b'shas tvila, apparently he still wanted that handle there. He wasn't makbid, meaning the halacha is not every foreign substance is a chatzitza. As I referred before, the halacha is mida or rice, so the only time something's a chatzitza is if it covers a majority of the item you're trying to be tovel and you're makbid, you don't want it there. Midrabanon, if it's one or the other, it's a chatzitza. If either it covers the majority of the item, or it's something that covers a minority, but you don't want it there, then it's going to be a chatzitza. That's why a woman goes to the mikveh and finds like a big piece of spinach in between her teeth afterwards, so that is a real chatzitza midrabanon, because it's only a minority of her body, but it's something she definitely doesn't want there. So that's going to be a chatzitza. But says the Chiddush HaRan, if at the time of the tevila you weren't makbid, you did want it there, so then it's not going to be a chatzitza, because it's only on a miut of the kli, and it's a no makbid. So it's not a chatzitza. Now our minhag is we get rid of even miyachena makpil chetzis. We get rid of everything. That's our minhag, but it's certainly not going to apostle the tevila b'di'evet, right? It's certainly not meikra adin that a miyachena makpil is a chatzitza. The problem with the Ran, with this comment of the Ran, the Avnei Nezer points out in Yerodeus, in Reish Samach Zayin, Os Gimel, that the Ran himself in Shavuos, of Zayin Amal Alf, B'dabe Arif, quotes in the name of the Ravid, that whenever we say makpid, it is chotzeitz, it's kol shem makpid olav l'fa'amim, afol pi she'eno makpid olav b'shas tevila. The definition of makpid doesn't mean that right now I'm makpid on it. It's anything I'm ever makpid on has a din of makpid. Anything that a person is ever makpid on having there has a din of makpid. That's why if a woman goes to the mikveh with her ring on, that's a problem. She wants a ring on. She has no problem wearing a ring. But there are certain times that she doesn't want her ring on. Certain times she takes it off. When she takes a shower, maybe she takes it off. When the example of the Shulchan Aruch is when she, of the Gemara, when she kneads dough, she takes her ring off. If there's ever a time that she's makpid, then it's considered to be a davar makpid, and it's going to be a problem of chatzitza. So anyway, so that's the difficulty in the Chidushei Aran. Okay, back in the Gemara. So the Gemara had said, so we must be assuming Ravina over here, who said that the beged is lav l'chaticha kai, and the uber is l'chaticha kai, and therefore kolom edachtoch is k'chatuch dami, whatever is ultimately going to be cut is considered as if it is already cut, and that's why the uber is considered as if it's already cut. So that's only going like Rameyer, because Rameyer is the one that held that the handle doesn't need to be toveled entirely if you plan on cutting off part of that handle later on. But the Rabbanan disagree. The Rabbanan think you have to tovel the entire handle, even if you plan on cutting off part of the handle later on. So says Gemara, no, afilu tamer Rabbanan. We might even be assuming like the Rabbanan. Chiburi ochlin, command the mifrasi dami v'nugi ba'adadi. There's a difference between foods and non-food items. That chiburi ochlin are considered, since it's a softer substance, it's considered as if it's already broken up into pieces. And therefore, even if you normally hold kolom elachtoch is not kichatuch dami, but when you're dealing with meat, when you're dealing with ochlin, it would be kechatuch dami. We view it as if it's already cut apart. So it says Gemara Bishlam ula. Now we had two approaches to answer. What about the how come the Mishnah says according to our Meir that the uber becomes tame from maga nevela? Isn't it tumas based on stardom? So ula's approach was the first approach that it becomes tame because as you're cutting it, it's impossible that parts of it aren't touching each other. And then Ravina's approach was the second approach that it's viewed as if it's already cut because it's l'chaticha kai. So it says Mar Bishlam l'ula hainu dekatani chatcha. According to Ula, I understand why the Mishnah Dafka gives a case where you tackle cut the hand off. Because according to Ula, the only way it becomes tummy is as you're cutting it, the place where it used to be attached, there are little fibers that are still connecting to each other, still touching each other, and that's where the tumma is coming from. So I understand why it says a case of chadcha. El Ravina my chadcha. But according to Ravina, why do you even have to say that you cut it? Even if you didn't cut it, it should be tummy magen avel, because it's omei lachtoch, and that should be good enough. Says Gemara, I done a resha chadcha, tan nami sefer chadcha. Yeah, because the last case in the Mishnah said chadcha, so we say this case of chadcha as well. Meaning the case of the Mishnah where you cut it off while the animal is still alive, where it's tahar. So that was a case of chadcha, so we say this case of chadcha as well. That's the only reason. The Chamom rim vaitu in the Gemara, the Mishnah had said, the Chamom maga trefa shchuta. The Cham disagree with Rameh, they say, no, it doesn't have a din of maga nevela. The Uber is a din of maga trefa shchuta, as if it touched a trefa animal that was shechted. It has that level of tumah. So it says, trefa shchuta mi matamya? What level of tumah is that? If you shecht the trefa animal, is that tameh at all? And says Gemara, in absolutely it's tameh. Kedavu de Shmuel, damar avu de Shmuel, trefa sheshachta matamah b'muktashin. That a trefa that's shechted is matamah b'muktashin. Midrabanan has such a din of tumah midrabanan. So that's the level of tumah that we assume the uber has when you cut off the arm that's sticking out of the mother after the shechita. That's the level of tumah that it has. Tumas maga trefa. Maga trefa shchuta. So the Mishnah went on to say that just like by a trefa, the shchita is metaher the trefa, so too the shchita should be metaher the eiver. Right? That was the mematzinu that the chacham said to Rameir. The chacham said to Rameir, how could you say that the limb is still going to have tumas nevela by a trefa? The halacha is by a trefa. Shchita takes away the tumas nevela. So when you shech the behema, even the Eved that's sticking out, the Tumas Nevela should go away from it. That was the Chacham's argument. Rav Meir said, no, Trefa, Shchita is only Matar, the Trefa itself. It's not, but it doesn't have the ability to be matar something else. The aver is already sticking out. It's already something else. So says the Gemara. The Gemara is just going to, on the pretty much the rest of this Amud, is just going to be explaining that exchange between Rav Meir and the Chachamim. Just who said what in that conversation. So Mamatzinu Treifa Sheshchitas Matar Taf Shchitas Beima Tetarasu Ubar. So Tanya, we have a brisa. Amar Len Rav Meir. Rav Meir said to the Chachamim, V'chimit Yaru Le'aver Zemi De Nevela. What was matar this aver from Nevela? What do you want a taina is going to be matar the eva from nevela? Shchita simo, the shchita of the mother. Well, if the shchita of the mother works on the ever, well, shchita does two things, as we've pointed out several times. Shchita takes away the tumas nevela, but shchita also typically makes something matar ba'achila. So if you're going to say that the shchita works even on the eva that's protruding outside of the mother, in that it takes away the tumas nevela, well, then it should also work, imkein tatirenu ba'achila. It should also make a mutter ba'achila. Meaning, that's Rav Meir's taina back to the Chacham. How can you, the Chacham, tell me that, look, we're doing a shchita, and therefore the shchita should work on the Eiver to take away the Tumas Nevela? If the shchita worked on the Eiver would be mutter to eat, and everyone agrees that it's also to eat. So Amr Lo, the Chacham said back, harbe matzelas al she'eno gufa yosar migufa. Shchita works, to an extent, on even things that are no longer part of the body, but it works on things that are part of the body more than it works on things that are no longer part of the body. For instance, we know if you cut off from the uber that's in the mother's womb, so we had a Mishnah, that if you cut off a piece of the uber in the mother's womb and you leave it there, so that's mutar b'achila. But if you cut off other pieces of the animal, its spleen, its kidneys, it's asr b'achila. So the point is a little bit difficult to understand. My kamar, what exactly is their point? What are the Rabbanan trying to say? They seem to be saying two different things over here. So Amar Rava Varmi Lakadi, either Rava or an anonymous Amar said, explained as follows. Chisur Mechzer Vachiktani. The Bryce is missing some words over there. This is how the exchange really goes. Amar Len Rameir. Rameir said to the Chacham, V'chimit Yaru Le'Vizem Yidin Ve'le Shchitas Imo Im Kein Tatirenu Ba'Achila. Right, that we had already. That Rameir said to the Chacham, you want a taina that the Shchita should work to take away the Tumas Nevela? Good, then the Shchita should also work to make that Eivor Mutar Ba'Achila, and that's ridiculous. No one holds that way. So Amlo the Chacham said back, Treifa Tochiach. Now I'll prove to you that Shchita doesn't always, even when Shchita is working to take away Tumas Nevela, it's not always making things Mutar Ba'Achila. And the Raya is, from treifa, if you take a treifa animal and you shecht it, what did you do? You took away the tumas nevela. There's no tumas nevela on the animal, but did you make a mutar b'achila? Absolutely not. The animal's a treifa. Obviously, you didn't make a mutar b'achila. So that's the taina of the chachamim have back to Rav Meir. Don't tell me that any time that a shechita works for tumas nevela, it's automatically going to work for hetar achila. We see by treifa that that's not so. So Amalehen Rav Meir said back to them, lo and tiara shechitas Trefa osa davershi gufa titarasa ever davershi no gufa. Rameir shoots right back to them. Yeah, shchita is going to work to be matar a trefa from the vela because it's being matar the animal itself. But over here we're talking about a piece that's sticking out from the uber up and sticking out of the animal. It's not even part of the guf of the animal. So over here shchita shouldn't work at all on that ever, even to be matar midei nevela. Amru lo, so the Chacham said back to Rameir, harbe matzelos al she'ino gufa, yoser migufa. Sometimes shchita is more effective on something that's not a part of the animal than it is on something that is a part of the animal. Where do we find that? Sharisha, and that's where they quote this the Mishnah, Sharisha ninu, chotech mina uber shemeyeha, mutar b'achila, mina tachu mina klayus, aser b'achila. If you cut off a piece of the fetus inside the mother, so then it's fine, it's covered under the shchita of the mother. The fetus is covered under the shchita of the mother. You cut off a piece of the mother inside of the mother, and it's not covered under the shchita of the mother. So you see that sometimes shchita is going to work more on things that are foreign substances inside the mother than it will on things that are part of its own guf. So it shouldn't bother you that shchita is going to work on the aver that sticks out of the mother. to be Matar Midei Nevela. Tanya Nam Yachu, you have a braisa that supports this version of the conversation between Rav Meir and the Chachamim. Amalan Rav Meir, where Rav Meir says to the Chachamim, V'chi mitya ruleiver zemidei Nevela. What was Matar this Aver from Nevela? Amar lo, Shechit Azimo. They said, what do you mean? The Shechit of the mother makes the Aver no longer Nevela. So the Rav Meir says back to them, Imkein, Tatirena Bachila. Oh yeah, if the Shechit worked, then let the Aver be Mutar Bachila. Amar lo, so the Chachamim said back, Shreva Tochiach, Shechitas Matar Zemidei Nevela, Vina Mataras Bachila. Not every time a shechita works to be matar midei nevela doesn't necessarily make a mutar b'achila. When you shach the treifa, it's matar midei nevela, does not become mutar b'achila. Amar len, Rav Meir says back to them, im tiyar shechita treifa osa ves ha'ever hamadul. Now this is the new line that this price is adding and that we didn't have before. So far, conversation is exactly the same. So over here, Rav Meir says back to them, if shechita's treifa's mitaher it, and an aver hamadul dolba, an aver that's hanging on off of it, meaning that's barely attached. Let's say it's partially cut off, so it's still attached by some sort of sinews or something that it's still hanging on. So if the shechita is going to work to be mitar that from nevela, dover shagufa, at least that's part of its body. Titara su uber sheinu gufa. Should it also be mitar the fetus, the arm of the fetus that's sticking out, that's not even part of the body? So amrlo. And that's when the Chacham responded back, Harbe Matzelus al Sheinu Gufa Yosem Migufa. Sometimes the Shechita is going to be more effective on foreign substances than it will be on its own body. Shari Shanin Uchotech Minu Uber Shemeya Mutar Bachila Minu Tachal Minu Klayus Asher Bachila. Right, and that's the halacha, that you cut off the Uber and leave it in. You cut off a piece of the Uber and leave it in and shech the mother. That piece is going to be Mutar Bachila. Cut off a spleen or a kidney of the mother and leave it inside and then shech it. That's going to be Asher Bachila. Fine, that was the whole conversation between Rav Meir and the Chachamim. Amrav Shemen Lakish, Kimachlokis Be'uvrin, Kach Machlokis Be'evarin. Just like Rav Meir and the Chachamim have a machlokis when it comes to the aver of an ubar that's sticking out of the mother, so too they have a machlokis by evarin. What does it mean that they have a machlokis by evarin? If you look at Rashi, Hamadul Dol Be'behema. They also disagree about an aver of the animal itself that's barely hanging on, that's barely attached. To the Rav Meir, Ein Shechitas Mitaraso, Ulraban Shechitas Mitaraso. So Reish Lakish holds that too is subject to machlokas, where a mayor is going to say the shechita of an animal is not going to be mitar midei nevela those limbs that are barely hanging on to the animal, whereas the chachamim are going to say yes, it will be mitar from nevela those limbs that are barely hanging on to the animal. That's the way Reish Lakish understands Rav Meir and the Chacham. Rabbi Yochanan Amar machlokas be'ever du ubar aval be'ever de behema divrei hakol shechita osu nipul, that the machlokas is only by an aver of the ubar, but by the aver of the behema itself that's hanging off, everyone is going to say that at the time of the shechita, it's as if it had fallen off. The shechita osa nipul makes it as if it had fallen off, and therefore it's not mitar midei nevela. Everyone would agree that that's worse. One would have thought that that's better, because that's at least attached to the animal. It's part of the mother, right? It's part of the animal. But no, everyone agrees that once it's just meduldal, then you shech the animal, that it's osa nipul, it's as if it's a separate component, and it's the gemar nefila, and it's not even considered part of the animal. It's going to be tameh as nevela. Some Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina might. So Rabbi Yochanan's version of the Rabbanan is that if the Uber sticks its hand out, so and then you shecht it, that's not nevela. That hand is not nevela. But if an animal has a limb hanging off and you shecht it, that limb is nevela. How does that make any sense? Why should the hanging limb of the animal itself be worse than the Uber's hand sticking out? So it says, "Why yisle tekanta b'chazar v'yilesle tekanta b'chazar?" Simple. The Uber could put its hand back in. The hanging off limb is done. It's finished. So meisvei amalem Rav Meir. So we have a kasha on this whole on Rabbi Yochanan. Amalem Rav Meir loim tia rashkitas treifa osaves eivar meduldol ba'davar shevugufa titaris uber davar sheinu gufa. Part of Rav Meir's point to the Rabban was, if you're going to be mitaher, if shechita is going to work to be mitaher a trefa, and shechita is going to work to be mitaher an aver amaduldal, right? That was part of Rav Meir's point. So then it should for sure work to be mitaher the aver that's sticking out of the mother. What did Rav Meir take for granted? That shechita works to be mitaher an aver amaduldal. So bishlam Rav Shimon Lakish l'devrayim kamalu. So according to Reish Lakish, I understand what Rav Meir is trying to do. He's trying to say that you guys, you the Rabbanan, hold that an aver amaduldal actually becomes star through the shechita of the mother. Lididi, according to me, loshna aver the uber of loshna aver the behema ki adadi ninu. I hold that the aver of the uber, the aver of the behema are all the same. It's all nevela. Rameir holds it's all nevela. The aver of the uber that's sticking out of the mother, or the aver medulal of a behema, it's all a nevela. So I hold I'm at least consistent. But you, Rabbanan, the Gemara doesn't finish off the sentence, but Eliyu, Rabbanan, who hold that an Aver sticking out of a mother, the Aver of the Uber sticking out of the mother is not Nevela, well then why do you hold the Aver Amaduldal is Nevela? So that Kasha only makes sense if the Rabbanan actually hold the Aver Amaduldal is a Nevela. And El Rabbi Yochanan Kasha, but according to Rabbi Yochanan, that everyone holds, that an Aver Amaduldal, right, Rabbi Yochanan is the one that said that be'ever the behemah the kol shechita also nipal, that everyone holds that an eiver amadul dal is a nevela. So then it's a kasha. What exactly is Rameir asking on the Rabbanan? Meaning Rameir was saying the eiver amadul dal is not nevela. What he meant to say, according to Reish Lakish, makes a lot of sense. I hold it is nevela, but you guys hold it's not nevela, right? So it's metarim de nevela. But according to Rabbi Yochanan, what in the world is he saying? Because according to Rabbi Yochanan, everyone holds it's nevela. Eliyit mar hachi mar. So this is where you need to understand it. Amr Rav Shimon ben Lakish ki machlokas beuvrim kach machlokas beivarim. That Reish Lakish holds the same machlokas by the aver of the ubar applies to evarim amaduldolin as well. Rabbi Yochanan amr machlokas beaver du ubar. It's not a machlokas by an aver de behema that's meduldal, but not in the direction we were going before, that it's vadei nevela. No, divrei akol that it's vadei not a nevela. So then how do you explain Rameir Shita according to Rabbi Yochanan? The way Rabbi Yochanan understands Rameir is that an Eva that sticks out of the mother, that's considered a Nevela. But the Eva Amaduldal is not considered a Nevela. So what's the logic for that? Well, Hai Gufa Vahilav Gufa, very pashut. The part that's a piece of the animal is not considered a Nevela. It's a piece of the animal. It's being shechted. But the Uber is not a piece of the animal. It's Lav Gufa. So that's going to be a Nevela. Amrav Yisrael Bar Yosef, Amrav Yochanan, Hakol Modim Shemisa Osanipol, Ve'in Shechita Osanipol. Everyone agrees that the death of the animal causes the falling off of the limb, causes the limb to be considered halachically fallen off, but the Shechita does not cause the limb to be considered halachically fallen off. So, Ma'eskin, what are we talking about? Ilema be'ever to Ubar, Miflek Pligi. If we're talking about the Aver of an Ubar that sticks its hand out, well, no, they argue about that. There is no Hakol Modim by an Aver of an Ubar. That's our Mishnah. There's a Machlokas about that. Ela be'ever de behema. So it must be that we're talking about the Aver of the behema itself. That's Meduldal. So Misa Tanina, Shkita Tanina. So the Gemara says the problem is you taught us nothing just now because we already knew that Misa is Osanipal, and we already knew that Shechita is not Osanipal. Misa Tanina, where do we know that Misa is Osanipal? Because it says, Mesa Behema, if the Behema dies, Habasar Tzarech Hechsher, the Basar requires Hechsher, to be Mekabel Tuma, right? Vaha Ever Metame Mishum Ever Menachai. But the Ever is already Tame, because the Ever is already Ever Menachai. Ve'enu Metame Mishum Ever Nenvela Divra Meir. But it's not Metame Mishum Ever Menachai that the Basa that comes from it is tame from because the misa osanipul. So it's not mitame shum ever mina nevela. So you see that misa osanipul because it is mitame shum ever mina chai. The fact that it died means that we consider it as if it had fallen off while it was still alive. So it's tame like ever mina chai. So that we already know. We already know that misa is osanipul, and we also already know shechita na mitanina that shechita is not osanipul. Nishkita habehema. That if the behemoth is shechted, so it becomes huchshar with its own blood, huchshar the kabel tuma with its own blood. So we see that that if you look at Rashi, huchshar b'dameha le kabel tuma sochlin alma sfirulei ein ben tumas atzman kever menachai. We're only talking about tuma in the context of did a liquid touch it to make it huchshar the kabel tuma. If it was Eivor Menachai, then there would be nothing to talk about Huchshol Kabel Tumah. If it's Eivor Menachai, it's Tameh without any Huchshol Kabel Tumah. So obviously we're assuming that the Shechita was not Osanipal. The Shechita did not make it considered like Eivor Menachai. So that's the kasha the Gemara has, that you didn't teach us anything we already knew, both of these halachos. We'll pick up with that tomorrow.